Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. Happy holidays. We just had Thanksgiving over the weekend, and we have the upcoming, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa celebration. But amongst all this, we also have Giving Tuesday, which happens to be today. So I thought it'd be perfect to spotlight my friend Jessica's company called The Promise Brand. I actually also did a write-up about them on the blog today, but just a little bit of background about them. Basically, it's a faith apparel brand, and 100% of the proceeds are donated to an organization called Convoys of Hope, which is basically a Feed One program. The program feeds children in underdeveloped countries, and just $10 feeds one child for an entire month, which is just insane because I think about, you know, how much I personally spend on groceries, and I'm so thankful that I'm in the position to buy, you know, and meet my family's needs. I'm just so, so, so grateful. But I know that I spend way more than $10 a month on Elizabeth's foods. So to think that just $10 can help a child in another country is really eye-opening, and just everything that you can give makes a difference. Like I said, I wrote about the brand on the blog, so if you want to head over to the blog and check it out, it has all the information about the Promise brand and Feed One, which is a program that the Convoys of Hope actually supports. And yeah, let's head into my conversation with Jessica. Hi, Jessica, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back. It is an honor.
I'm so happy to have you. So let's jump right in. For those who may not have caught my first episode with you, can you give us a brief background about yourself?
So in contrast to the first podcast we did together, life is a lot different, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate to. You know, 1 month life is one way, and then the next month it's completely different. So you may remember or know me as like the spiritual guru. I did some modeling in the past. I think we touched on that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we touched on how my spiritual practice and guiding others and teaching others. So that is kind of the background, I guess, that we spoke on the last time I was on the podcast. But if I had to say now, you know, and give you a little background and up to date who I am, where I am, and what's going on in my life, yes, I'm still spiritual. If anything, my spiritual practice has become a lot deeper, a lot more steadfast. And I've had a lot of life experience that really wasn't welcomed at all, that triggered a lot of trial and hardship in my life, that served as this refining process to my spirituality, and definitely assisted me in growing. So I am still on the well-worn path of spiritual teaching and guiding and helping others in the best way that God wants to use me, and making myself available to help people across the board in numerous ways. So that is something that I still do. I'm a mother. I have a now 13-year-old.
Ah.
Yeah, every day it's like, oh my gosh, taller and taller. And I tell her, I'm like, you need to stop growing. I feel like I'm losing authority here.
Oh.
You know, the taller they get, you feel like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's a good girl. She's great. Yeah, we're still in Jersey. me, my daughter, our pets, and we are living life for sure. But I'm excited to talk to you about what has transpired since the last time we talked and the purpose of life right now for me.
Right. So let's jump right in. What would you say has been the greatest, you know, shift and catalyst in this change and in this, you know, huge up-leveling in spirituality?
I love that you just said up-leveling, because that is definitely like a phrase I wouldn't have paired at the moment while going through the trials and hardship. I would not have thought of it as, oh, this is an up-leveling. Mm-hmm. I definitely would have related it more to an upheaval, okay? Definitely yeah. not an up-leveling, an upheaval. But in the grand scheme of things, and now reflecting back, now being on the other side, I can say it was absolutely nothing short than an up-leveling. So the catalyst for that, if you are a follower of mine on Instagram and you have read my story, I very openly and honestly share my story. And that's not something that I have done until the more recent past couple of months, because I believe that there is something to be said for sharing your truth and guiding people through your story, but also being able to guide in a way where you're healed and you're on the other end of it. Because sometimes I believe that we are very quick to share our stories and we're then sharing from a wound and not from a scar. And they're two totally different places to share from. So when we share from a wound is open, it's raw, it's very real. There is nothing protecting it. Yeah. It's exposed to all of the elements and it's unsettled. Right? It's yeah. still in its process of mending.
Yeah.
But when we share from a place of being a scarred over place, it might sound ugly, but it's healed. There has been a new layer of growth. There has been a new skin that's developed. So that means new life has had to come about because of that open wound. And when you share from a place of a scar, it just means that you've been able to find peace within the pain. You've been able to move outside of the pain. And although the memory may still be there, you are made whole, you are whole, you are complete, and you're new. So I more recently have began sharing my story because I'm finding that I'm at that place of scarred over. I have made tremendous amount of peace with this catalyst that has transformed my life from head to toe. I mean, up, down, and all around has completely transformed my life. And I feel that it's something that I'm able to be able to offer other people so that they can also say, wow, one, I'm safe to share my story too,
yeah.
right? From the right place, the right moment, space, and time. But also like, oh my gosh, this happened. Well, I'm kind of going through something similar too. And it might not right. be identical to what you're going to, but you are experiencing something and you have now this, where you're like, oh, she got through it.
Right.
And if she got through it, why can't I get through it? There's right. absolutely no reason, because I will tell you right now, God isn't a favor of different people. God doesn't play favorites. If he pulls one person out of a hardship, he's going to pull you out too. So the catalyst, that was like a little pre-synopsis, I guess, if you will. But the catalyst, the ultimate catalyst, was a 10-year abusive relationship that I was in. And this relationship didn't only affect me, it affected my daughter, it affected my family, it affected my career, it affected my income, it affected my health, it affected every area of my life. And this relationship was extremely toxic. It was filled with turmoil. It was not go. And it wasn't until year 10 that I was able to get away from it, that I was able to finally find this newfound strength and say, okay, something's got to be different. I got to get out of this now. Something has to change. So the catalyst for the change was the pain. It was the pain. It was the hardship. It was the sleepless nights. It was the crying myself to sleep. It was the guilt of feeling like I'm an awful parent. It was it was all things that you would not, that you wouldn't want to experience. It was everything that was uncomfortable. It was all the discomfort that triggered me to finally have a shift. And at the time, I wouldn't think of it, like you mentioned, as an up-leveling, but for sure, the discomfort is what made me move, because even when things were bad, they didn't get this bad. And then once they got to that breaking point, it was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for a change now. I'm ready. I don't know what the change is going to be or where I'm going to get it or how it's going to come about, but something has to give, because it's either I'm going to die or he's going to die. And I don't want anyone ended up dead.
Right.
So that was the ultimate catalyst for this big shift, for the up-leveling, which I love that you said.
So at what point, I know you said it was year 10, but was there something that triggered you or kind of, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, I just can't figure out how to pinpoint it. Like, how did you like snap into realizing that, no, I can no longer do this for my child, for my family? What was like that pivotal moment? And you don't have to give details. I just mean like what filled your mind and your heart, and you were like, no, no more. Why is this time different than the last?
So there's a couple different, I guess, revelations that had to happen. You know, it wasn't just one. I think it was a culmination. I think it was also the past that was following me around that also played a part in realizing, okay, this is destructive. It's been destructive. It's not getting better. But you know, that last year of the 10, I had done a lot of spiritual work prior to that point. I had done a lot of spiritual work starting in 2014. And, you know, a lot of inner work. A lot of inner work, a lot of delving and diving and trying to figure out who I am, what role I play in all of this. Because listen, it takes two to tango. And I definitely made choices and decisions that, you know, escalated things, that made things not, you know, as easy as, you know, 1, 2, 3. I played my part too. So for me, that last year of the 10, I had committed, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to do things differently. I'm going in 100% with my heart open, with 100% pure communication and honesty. And I'm going to do this right. I'm going to serve. I'm going to just do whatever I have to do to know that, you know, I'm giving this my all. And that this stands a chance. Like, this is something that could be saved. So that was problem number one. I believe that I can fix something that was never meant to be in the first place. Number one, that's a word for somebody right there. Sometimes I believe that we think that we can take control of things and we can make things better, so to speak, when God's sitting on the sideline going, but honey, that was never for you in the first place.
Right.
You need to know when to let dead things go, right? Well, instead of letting go, I committed wholeheartedly to making it better and making it happen on my own accord. So in that last year, I loved hard. I laid down, I submitted, I did things that, you know, just to go, I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to love. And in that loving, I lost boundaries. In that loving, I saw a lot of things that were hidden from me. And it was basically when I found things that were hidden and exposed in the past that God brought to light in that last year to say, okay, I get your heart's in the right place, but I'm going to show you why this could never work. And in that exposing, God showed me a lot of things that were just not in alignment with who I am, with my morals, with my beliefs. And I had to remove myself and my daughter for our sake. But before I did that, I laid myself on the line and I said, I'm here. I will get you help. I will do whatever I have to do to help you, to help the situation. We're a team. We're in this together. And, you know, that wasn't the route. God said, no, I didn't make you to be his mender at all. I'm showing you why this couldn't go forward, and now it's time for you to let it go. So it was in exposing, it was when the light came and exposed the dark, and that was really the turnaround for me. There were many things, even though it had been 10 years, there were many things that I didn't know in the background. I mean, life-altering things that, again, just were not in alignment with my morals, with my with integrity, and just with any way of living that I wanted to associate with at all in any way, shape, or form. And I felt stuck. I felt very stuck. How was I going to get out? How was I going to get my daughter out? How would we be safe? How would I pay my bills on one income, you know, when we're going from two incomes? Or how is this all going to happen? And God said, I'll tell you how it's going to happen. And I'm sure some of the listeners right now can relate to this. Sometimes God will make you and not, he won't cause the discomfort, but he will allow such a level of discomfort in your life that there is no other option than to move. That what used to be okay, what used to work, what you used to be able to function and just get by in, he will allow to become so disruptive and uncomfortable so that you run in the opposite direction. And that's what happened. Things just got so out of hand and uncomfortable. I said, this is it. And I was literally put up against a wall one day, and I had to make a decision. And I made that decision, and it just happened. It happened.
Thank you so much for sharing that. After you made that decision, what was that connection with God like? Because I feel like when, I don't know, when sometimes when things are so uncomfortable and so just shitty, you know, people are just, they don't always turn to God and to their spirituality. It's, you're just in that dark place.
Right.
So what was your... what was your connection with God at that point, and how did you build yourself back up? I think that's, you know, a really pivotal part of it.
Yes. So the interesting thing is the last time we talked, the first time I was on the podcast, and you and I have known each other forever. We've known each other for quite some years now. You know, the first time I was on the podcast, I thought I was like living the life. I thought I was like really in alignment with God's will for me.
Right.
And the whole time I'm thinking like, yeah, this is great. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing at all. And things were falling apart all around me. And I didn't understand why. But in that last year of the 10, and I share this on my Instagram. This is part of me opening up and sharing my story. So I do these things, and this is actually, we were texting about it. I do these things, and they're called Insta books. And I put them out, and they're like 9 pages, 9 swipes long, so little blocks, about 9 of them. And they're my story, and I put out 2 so far. And it kind of, it gives you the background. And in the first one I share, how in that last year, in November of 2000, and or was it March? It was March of 2018. Things were at the worst point in the relationship and within the home. And one night I took myself to Barnes & Noble, and I had always had a spiritual practice. I didn't have a religious practice per se, not even growing up, I didn't. But I had a spiritual practice in my older adult years. So at this point, I'm at a breaking point. I needed more than an angel. I needed more than a tarot deck. I needed more than a psychic. I needed something that was going to make me something that was black and white, that would give me a revelation, that would give me some kind of wisdom. And I didn't know what it was, but the only thing I hadn't exercised and the only thing I hadn't done or took the time to delve into in my spiritual practice was the Bible. And I wasn't raised a religion, so I never touched a Bible. I never opened a Bible. I never stepped foot in a church other than a handful of times with my Catholic girlfriends when I was in like fifth and sixth grade, because I slept over there and I'd tag along on the Sunday morning after the sleepover. You know, I didn't know who this God guy was. I knew that there was this higher power, but I didn't know who God was. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know a formal prayer. I didn't know any of that. I didn't know the importance. Was there an importance to formal prayer? Why were people going to churches? What was the purpose of it all? And I never chose to take the time to learn about it. I had my way of doing things, and my way of doing things I liked. And I didn't want to hear anything out of a Bible, because to me, a Bible was about a vengeful God. It was about a God that punishes and, judges. And, you know, it was very unwelcoming. That's the best way I can explain it. So here we are, March 2018, and I'm at my breaking point. I feel like at any moment, my daughter could be taken away from me. At any moment, I'm going to die. At any moment, I'm going to lose my sanity. And I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to Barnes & Noble. And the intention for Barnes & Noble was for me to just get away. I used to go to Barnes & Noble and just go through the books, and they made me feel great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to Barnes & Noble that day, and I found myself in, like, the Christianity section. And I said, I'm going to grab a Bible. This is it. I don't know what the Bible's about, but I'm going to get it. And if God's real, and if this really is his word, well, he better show up and he better show out, because I'm going to die. And I was a little dramatic, but I grabbed the Bible off the shelf and I prayed. I said, God, I don't know. I don't know how to hear your word in a Bible. I don't know anything about it. Just guide me to what I need so that you can speak to me. And I opened my eyes and there was a blue Bible. It caught my eye. I grabbed it. And it was a New Living Translation. And thank God, because it's like the most easy to understand translation. And I fanned through the pages and I stopped and I opened it, and it opened to a scripture and it said, your faith has saved you, go in peace. And I started crying in the middle of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Those words, just that scripture, your faith has saved you, go in peace. It was almost as if God was saying to me, your faith, although it's small and shaky, I hear you. I'm saving you. Go forward. I'm bringing you peace. And that's what I got out of that, all in a split second time. I closed the Bible again. And this is no exaggeration. I closed the Bible again. I fanned through the pages and I opened again. Different chapter in the New Testament, same location on the page. And it said, your faith has saved you. Your suffering is over. Go in peace.
Wild.
Oh my God. And I started crying again. And I said, I'm getting a Bible. That's it. I'm getting the Bible. So I went home that night. I got the Bible. And that right there was enough for me to say, okay, God's hearing me. God must be active and alive in this word, in this text somewhere, because he literally just said to me on two different occasions within 30 seconds, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I sat in my room, I locked the door, and I read the prayer for salvation out loud. I didn't know what salvation meant other than being saved. Okay, someone's saving you from something.
Yeah.
I read the prayer of salvation. I signed it and I said, Jesus, I know you're real. God, I know you're Jesus real. What? Okay, here we are. I'm here. I'm listening. Just help me. Just help me. And I had studied Jesus for a while. I'd studied some of his teachings, but never in the Bible. I wouldn't open the Bible. I had such a bad taste in my mouth about religion, and to me, a Bible associated with religion, and I didn't want any parts of it, so
right.
I wouldn't pick it up. So that night in March, I think it was March 28th, 2018, I laid in bed, and this was a couple hours later, I laid in bed, and he was right next to me, and I got a highlighter and a pen, and in my mind and in my heart, I was going, God, save me from this man. Save me from this man. And I was highlighting and underlining. And I started at the book of Genesis. I started at page one. And I was like, we are reading this. And I read. And I read. And, you know, he had words to say and all that. But I didn't care. I did not care. I was like, I don't care what you're saying. Just whatever. And I I phased them out, I blocked them out, and I just kept tunnel vision on whatever God was going to speak to me. And that was the beginning of my breakthrough. So I went from a breakdown to a breakthrough in a matter of a couple hours. And it was, that was in March, and December 5th, 2018, we were done. We were done. I had the strength to make the choice and decision that would end that relationship permanently. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning, I can say, when I had that Bible in my hand, that was the beginning of my walk with God in a new way that would bring about life and not death. I mean, totally life. Give me new life, 100%.
That's so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. I can imagine that's really hard to share and go through and live through again. So it's interesting that you say that Barnes & Noble was like the place where you, you know, spotted the Bible and really picked it up and had that moment. I actually had a similar moment at that same exact Barnes & Noble's by your house. I had a reading with you for like the second time, but I think it's the first time I ever met you in person, and you had told me, you're like, you need to go pick up this book by Marianne Williamson, or maybe The Course in Miracles.
I don't remember any of that. Yes. Amazing.
And you were like, and I had some time to kill after we spoke, so I was like, let me just go into Barnes & Noble's. And as soon as I walked in, there was a table right there with the exact book that you had recommended. And I was like, that is so crazy.
And Marianne Williamson, A Return to Love, that book is based off of the breakdown of A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is based off the breakdown of the New Testament, the law of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his love, his miracles, what miracles are, and the unconditional love and presence of God. So that is incredible. I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that you just said that. That's awesome. There's something magical in bookstores.
Oh, totally.
Something magical. And I always have found peace in bookstores. Even when my daughter was a little girl, she would, you know, her father would pick her up for the weekend. I would go to Barnes & Noble. I'd sit there for hours. And I would just line myself with books on the floor. I'd sit in Indian style, Victoria's Secret, pink sweatpants, a hoodie, and I'd sit on the floor and I would just read and read and read and read. And there's something magical. I love it. Books speak to you.
They totally do. It's funny because my husband actually got me one of those like Nooks one year. And although I love it, I love just like feeling the book. And like you said, you're able to like highlight in the Bible and write down your thoughts and just, you know, you really connect with the book when you physically have it.
You do. There's something, I feel like now we're in a day and age of just so much technology. You know, it's easy to just pick up a book through the face of your phone. But for me, I have, like I said, revelations. And that is where my wisdom, a lot of wisdom comes from for me. So my dog is kicking her ball.
No worries.
So for me, like to be able to highlight and write and you know, put my thoughts in the margins, like it means a lot to me. And also I feel like they're also good books of memory for children. I have so many books from my grandmother where she actually wrote and underlined and wrote her thoughts in there that I have that are, they're sentimental to me. They mean so much and they give me a glimpse into her mind when I wasn't even alive. So I love that.
So now that you are on the up level, what are you doing? What have you, I don't want to say manifested, or what is your path now? Like now that you have totally just left that in the past, it's nothing but a scar. Tell us more about what you're doing now.
So right now, my mission, in contrast to what it was before, my mission and my purpose I felt in life prior, you know, to this podcast was, you know, to spread love, right? And the mission is still the same. But it is like this renewed sense is, I am on this mission to break, if my dog doesn't stop with this dog.
Oh, it's totally fine.
She is like all about this squeaky ball, but she chews it like gum and it just squeaks over and over and over. Yeah, so you want to know how holy I am next to that ball squeaking for a couple of minutes. Oh my gosh. But so I really feel like my mission right now is breaking religious barriers. Oh. It is a mission for me to break the religious barriers and conforms that people are using to separate themselves from the love and the presence of God. Because what happens is we put ourselves, well, not ourselves, but we put God in this box when we are so conformed to this strict religious thought process. It leaves no room for us to develop a relationship with God, to know our Creator. In a deeper and more fulfilling and passionate way, it really cuts that supply off. It completely cuts it off because we put God in this box and we limit him in his ability and also his willingness in his promises for us. And it also limits us in our availability to receive. It limits us in our awareness to perceive. Because we're not able to see how God's moving and working in our lives. We think that everything that happens is on our own accord and our own doing. And we miss like incredible opportunities that are before us because we are so in our own minds and in our own will that we miss like the goodness of God, like that's all around us, that wants to give us blessings and miracles and all of that. So that's like my mission, to break that. Because if I say to someone right now, if I say like, you know, hey, if I say to someone right now, you know, let's talk about Jesus. Most people are going to be like, nah, girl, I'm good. They're going to click off. They're going to grab a tarot deck, which nothing's wrong. Like you do what you have to do to bring yourself closer to the presence and awareness of your Creator. That's how I got into the arms of God, by doing things that were, you know, that to me in the moment, they served a purpose. I prayed to Archangel Michael before I ever prayed to God. Like I was praying to Archangel Michael left and right for safety and protection. But here's the thing. God hears your prayers no matter how you're praying them.
Yeah.
You can't pray a wrong prayer. When I was a little girl, my prayer life was, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That was my prayer life. Because I had a young mom. She was 19 years old when she had me. She didn't have a prayer life. She didn't have a relationship with God. She didn't have any of that. But God still hears your prayers. So I'm not trying to break people's spiritual practices. I'm trying to break the false belief and the religious conformity of separation between God being a vengeful, punishing God to the truth of the matter that God's love. God is love. That is God. And when we get so wrapped up in when I say Bible, again, most people, I'm done. We're done. We're going to click off and we're going to go. We're going to go pick up Law of Attraction book instead. Again, Law of Attraction. Great. But remember, there's two wills we operate under. We operate under our own will and then we operate under the will of God. And that's one of the promises that God gave us, the gift of free will. And we have the choice in every given moment to choose God or to not choose them. And all I can say is I wholeheartedly know what life is like to live without and outside of the presence of this man, Jesus. I totally know what it's like. And for me, it was hardship. It was a lot of hardship, a lot of dark, dark moments and nights. And I know what it's like to live with that. And to me, like I said, I have since studied Jesus, this man, big time. I've studied his teachings, his miracles, the love, his sermons. I've researched it all, and I've sat with it, and I've dissected it, and it has become more and more active and alive in my own life. And, you know, for me, it's just breaking those religious barriers that keep people outside of God's love. And I think that we need to kind of chill out and relax, like, when we hear the word Bible or when we hear the name Jesus. Like, why can we, and I think maybe I even said this to you before, Erica, like, in conversation between you and I, like, why is it that we have no hesitation, I guess the word is, to say, oh, I'm going to go pray to Ganesh, the god of abundance, but to pray to a man is foreign. Like, to me, I get it, because that was me. I was all about Archangel Michael, Ganesh, Lakshmi, like, all these people that, you know, have their own this and that and ways or whatever, but at the end of the day, I needed the head honcho. I needed God. And for me, finding who God is, his character, and what he's capable of doing, for me, I found that in the New Testament. Now, yes, in the Old Testament, you have to be able to really study that, okay? And you have to be able to really study the Old Testament so that you don't get tripped up and hung up thinking that God just wants to punish and kill you. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
You have to be able to really spend time in the Old Testament to dissect it and realize that it's a period of redemptive history, and then you'll be able to understand a little bit better. But at first, like, my mom, she's a perfect example. She cannot tolerate the Old Testament. It's all, no, that's not God. That's not God. And she freaks out. And I'm like, you're not studying it. Like, if you study it, you'll see that God, his character has been the same forever. He's loving. He's merciful. Like, he is a good God. Mm-hmm. He's not a God that punishes. Now, let's set the record straight. This is going to help a lot of people. One of the things, one of the barriers between ourselves and God is we feel that God punishes us, and we feel that bad things happen. And if bad things happen, there's no God, because how could God allow bad things to happen? Well, here's the key. So when there's maybe 3-4 points I want to make. The first point is, when we operate outside of the will of God, that means God's plan and purpose for you, which you would have to know what that is, okay? And what that is for you to excel, succeed, be prosperous, be blessed across the board, more than you can even contain, to be healthy. That's God's will for you. God's will are all these great things. Now, when you operate outside of God's will and in your own will and not in a co-creative process with your creator.
Sorry.
So there's about 3 or 4 points that when we operate outside of the will of God, which all those things are God's will for us, but health, prosperity, healthy relationships, children, whatever we operate outside of God's will, we experience discomfort. We will, because when we're not working as a co-creative process with the creator, we experience hardship, right? So number 2, discomfort, not all hardship and discomfort that you're blaming God for came from God. We have free will. We make choices. We make decisions. And then when things go bad or wrong, we go, oh, well, this is why I don't believe in God, because these things could never happen.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, now I'm going to give you some key wisdom right here, key wisdom, so that you can stay close in a relationship with God and not be, you know, no kind of division can happen. The key wisdom is this: God doesn't cause the trials. God doesn't cause the hardships. God doesn't cause the discomfort. God will allow it, though. He will allow it, because he will use it for your good. Have you ever been in a any kind of circumstance at all, or an experience in your life where you were thinking, oh my gosh, this is awful? But then you fast forward a month, then you fast forward a year, and you go, if that never happened, I would never be here. Because God won't cause the hardship, but he'll use it to bless you. So that is key information. that when things go wrong in your life, God's not doing it because he wants to harm you. He wants to make you miserable or you're not worthy or deserving of good things. God is using it because he knows he can use it to bless you.
Right.
It's what they say, what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for my good, right? So no matter what comes your way, God will work it for your good, all things together for your good. Now, something else we say, and this is a big mistake on our part, and I used to say this all the time, God doesn't allow more than you can handle. How many times have you said that?
Yeah.
God will not allow you to experience more than you can handle. Wrong. God will allow you to experience way more than you can handle for this reason. For the reason that it will push you into the presence and awareness of his love for you. You will have the opportunity in hardship when more is coming on, it's raining, it's pouring, your plate is overflowing. God will allow that to happen if it means it will push you into his presence so he can reveal his greatness in your life. That means he will reveal a miracle in your life. How often do we sit and say, this is too much to bear. This is too much to bear. God, please help me. Please help me. God's going, no, just come closer. Come closer. Come closer to me. It's all a strategic plan, if you will, to get you closer into his heart so he can start to do some really amazing things for you. And that was the testimony I could give firsthand from that 10-year relationship. I kept saying, I remember in 2014, laying in my condo, in my bedroom, on the floor, on my back, with my arms open. I fell on the floor. I locked myself in my house, and I said, God, take him away. God, help me. Why aren't you helping me? I'm going to die. And I laid on my floor, and I cried, and I said, make him go away. God sat there, and you want to know what he was doing the whole time? He's going, I'm not going to take him away. I'm going to give you the strength to get away. And I'm going to use every broken, fragmented piece that came about from this situation. And I'm going to bless you because of it. And that is exactly what he's done. He drove me deeper into his presence. Because how many times can you say in your life, it takes a really significant hardship for you to realize what you have?
Yeah.
Right? So this is my goal. This is my mission. God has put it on my heart that he wants to use me in a way that's going to show people who he really is, not some dried up, religious, punishing God, because that's not who God is. That's not who God has been ever. God is love. That is who God is. And when I tell you, when you start to operate within the will of God and you know his promises for you, because there are many promises of God. There is, 4,647 promises of God, I believe. But there are so many promises of God. And when you know those promises, and you have to know all of them, you can even know three, and that's enough to carry you through your lifetime, that he shows up and he shows out for those who simply believe. So I talk a lot about faith, and that's my mission. It's increasing people's faith. It's showing them who God really is and who he wants to be in their life. And to hopefully inspire people to have a deeper committed relationship with their higher power and not feel alone, especially moms. Like, I don't know who needs God more than a mother with an infant. Can we just say that?
That's true.
I don't know who needs God more than a mother with an infant, because you're telling me, I mean, I know I did. I know I needed God for all those days that I wanted to just, I put myself in the ground with guilt because I wasn't doing what I thought I should be doing, and I didn't do it right, and I missed this nap time, and oh my God, she stayed up too late last night, or oh my God, wait a minute, I went out last night, I should have been home with my baby, you know, all these things, or feeling worthy, good about yourself, deserving, the ability that you still are a functioning, living, breathing being that deserves care, love, and attention just as much as your infant child does.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know anybody who doesn't need God more than moms, right? Because God's given us the gift of a child only to say, hey, come closer to me.
Yeah.
You think God didn't know by giving you that baby that you would be able to do it on your own? You think God didn't know that you wouldn't need him? It's all strategic. Love calls love onto itself. And that is my purpose. That is my mission now. So my mission was always to spread love, but it's on fire. So if I can put it in a nutshell, my mission is on fire to really be able to break down these false beliefs of, you know, who God is, and to create more of a unity, because there's so much division in this world. So much. And honestly, let's just look at it. Kanye West, Demi Lovato was just baptized in the Jordan River. Justin Bieber is singing worship music now. Like, God is giving people with lofty platforms this gift to be able to spread his love. And that's all people are doing. They're preaching Jesus left and right. This is the day and the time. And no one's saying give up or stop doing what you're doing that's bringing you closer to your creator. Whatever brings you close to God that doesn't hurt anyone, doesn't hurt, condemn, or make anybody wrong. And that is a big myth I'm here to bust for a lot of people when it comes to God. God said, love thy neighbor. He didn't say, love the neighbor that's only straight. He didn't say, love the neighbor that, you know, is, you know, white and not African-American. God said, love everybody. So look at all these celebrities now, too, that are just preaching the word of God. Like, this is, there's a movement. That's all I can say. There's a spiritual movement spreading the word of God and getting everyone rooted in that love. And that's my mission. And that's what I'm using my Instagram for. It's like, that's the purpose of my Instagram right now.
So a couple things that you said. So the first is when you were, at the tail end, when you were telling your story, it made me think of, and I can't believe I can't even think of the name of the person right now. You'll definitely know who it is. The woman who created all of these angel card decks and...
Doreen Virtue.
Yes. Had a similar but not so similar experience where she, you know, up-leveled, and now she's more focused on Jesus as opposed to the angel cards and that level of spirituality.
I just want to say... It's important when you up level in your spirituality. It's important when you deepen your walk with God that you don't hurt anyone else or make anyone else wrong in that process. Because if your religion is making someone else wrong,
yeah,
you're doing it wrong, right?
I agree with that. I love that you're really breaking the barriers of these stigmas that people, you know, are so afraid to associate themselves with God or Jesus or religion, but they're so quick to gravitate towards, like you were saying, the law of attraction. So I feel like the work that you're doing is so important, and I love the message, and I love that you've totally, you know, revamped your Instagram to relay that message. And you've recently created a brand which kind of, you know, integrates into that belief as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So this is my baby. This is for sure my baby. I started a clothing brand, and its name is The Promise Brand. And I want to break down this name a little bit because it is, I'm big on symbolism. And I think that's why I like the Bible so much, because I can decipher symbolic messages. Like, Jesus spoke in parables the whole time. You never got a yes or a no out of Jesus. It was like a symbolism. Like, you had to break it down. And
right.
I love symbolism. That's why I love dreams. I love symbolism. So the brand is named The Promise Brand. Now, the promise came from my first personal experience with God fulfilling his promises, and especially after December 5th of last year, God has come through on all of his promises. And for your listeners, if you want to hear more in depth of that, you know, about my story, I do get pretty personal about some experiences that happened. But in each of them, the purpose of those stories is to show you how God came through on his promise, and how I'm very human. And I didn't see the promise, and I didn't always believe in it either. But he still came through because he's faithful and he is who he says he is. God is unchanging. He's not like me and you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. I said, it has always been in my heart to have a clothing brand, always. And I tried before in the past, but whenever you do something outside of the will of God, the right thing at the wrong time is more of a curse than a blessing.
Right.
And I've had to learn that. So I've always wanted a clothing brand. And this, the latter months of my life have been, okay, this is it. And this is the time to do it. So God has come through on many promises. I mean, every single one he's come through on. And then I very much so have always been into the importance of what we wear and the importance of words that we wear. Our words hold power. The power of life and death lie in the tongue. We hear that all the time. We can speak things to life. We can actually destroy things with our life. And that, for how many of you have heard someone say something really awful and it hurt you so bad, whether you let them know, the other person know or not?
Yeah.
The life of power and death lie in words. It's in the tongue. It's spoken word, right? Written word. So for me, I was all gung-ho. I'm doing this now. I am going to create a faith-based brand that is going to bring forth, through the power of word, encouragement, inspiration, and solid, solidified teaching that people can stand on. They can stand on it. They can wear it. It's part of their decree, their declaration, and they can wear it in faith. And they can not only wear it in faith, but they're conversation starters. So each piece, the way that it is created, is a conversation starter. People will go up to you. I'm saying this firsthand because I know, because I wear the brand. And people, what does that mean? What does that mean? And it gives you the opportunity to share faith with somebody else. So the brand, the promise brand, it reminds you that the promises of God are for you and you are entitled to each and every single one of them. They are for you. But the latter part of the brand is that you are the promise. You have the ability to be the promise and spread the promises of God, because that's how God's promises come to fruition in our life. God works through people. We are vessels. We are instruments if you are available for it. So the brand, its emblem, its logo, if you, there's a corner, there's a 90-degree corner in the top left corner and a 90-degree angle in the bottom. And the purpose of that, and in the middle it says the promise brand, is because in one corner we have fear and in one corner we have faith. And for a very long time, I believed that fear and faith could not exist together. I taught for a very long time. I admit it. I'm very transparent with you. I taught for a very long time. You cannot have faith if you have fear. Mm-hmm. You cannot have, they cannot coexist together. Wrong. Fear and faith will always be present together. One gives contrast to the other. You're able to know how deep in fear you are when you get out in faith. You're able to know how strong your faith is when you have fear presence. So for me, and that's what this last almost year of my life has been, a testimony that faith and fear will always be present, but it solely depends on what you have in between those. What promises you're standing on will directly influence where you go back and forth to. Are you going to stand on a promise of God? You're always going to be leaning more towards the faith. We bounce back and forth, but in the middle is the crucial existence of the promise of God that we know we're entitled to, and that essence that is there for us and supporting us always. So I released the brand last month on October 23rd, and there's significance in that number. The brand itself is based off of the scripture, Hebrews 10 and 23. And Hebrews 10 and 23 means God can be trusted to keep his promises.
And oh, I love that.
Yes, that is the scripture. God can be trusted to keep his promise. And 10/23 is also my birthday.
Happy belated.
Before, about symbolism and numbers. And God's big with numbers. Numbers mean a lot to God, okay? Moon cycles mean a lot to God. In the Bible, it talks about the new moon. Like, see, there's just so much I can talk about. But anyway.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that at another time, because I'm interested by that.
Yeah, it's so cool. It is. It's really interesting. So with 10/23, for years, I would see 10/23, 10/23. I see it on a clock, on a license plate. I see over. And I was, my birth. And then recently, last spring, I was seeing it a lot, and I was in the middle of going through a lot of legal things, and after the ending of that relationship, and I kept seeing 10/23, 10/23, and I'm going, my birthday, God, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, ask and you shall receive. I finally asked, I said, what are you trying to tell me? What does this mean? I came home a couple hours later, opened Instagram, and Instagram is a vessel for answered prayers. If you know how to follow the right things. So, here it came. It popped up on my feed right away. Someone had posted a scripture and it said, Hebrews 10:23, God can be trusted to keep his promise. And I went, oh my gosh, here I am worrying about what's happening in that moment, in that circumstance in my life. And God's going, I told you what would happen. Now trust me.
Right.
And I was like, oh, so that's the foundation the brand is built off of. The promise that God keeps and the promise that will be fulfilled in all of our lives. So through a podcast, you can't see it, but I have on one of the sweatshirts right now. I released two staple pieces. These are the backbone of the brand. There is a hoodie and a crew neck, and it says the promise on the right hand sleeve. Your right side is your side. Your right hand is your hand of authority. And it says 10/23 over the left chest, and that is over your heart. So I go into detail about the brand more and what it means specifically. I also donate all 100% of proceeds from this brand. It is a give back brand, goes to Convoy of Hope. Specifically at this moment, I am sending all the proceeds to their feeding program, their Feed One program. So for $10, just $10, it feeds an underprivileged child in a third world starving country, $10, 30 days. It guarantees meals for 30 days for one child. And this brand is not something that to me is just, oh, I'm just going to do it and I want to make money off it. I make nothing off of this. This is to give back. And I'm so passionate about the promises of God and the inspiration and motivation that comes from the written word, that I just want to get it out there. I want people to start to share it in faith. I want people to feel good wearing it. I want them to remember when they put it on, oh yeah, that's right. Like, I don't have to worry what I'm worrying about. I'm wearing this as a statement of faith. I want people to wear it as a statement of faith. So not only a statement of faith for themselves, but also, hey, I'm receiving the promise, but I am the promise. I've purchased this and I know that I'm giving back to someone in need as well, because like I said, we are the promise in other people's lives. So this brand is so important to me. And when you support the brand, you're supporting my mission in spreading the love and, you know, the word of God, but you're also supporting children who, I mentioned this on my Instagram, if you go and you look at the video, it's heartbreaking, especially as a parent, you hear this, right? Or anyone, or anyone with a soul, you know, there's these children and their parents, there's lines to get to these centers, these medical centers and feeding centers. And there's parents that will run up from the back of the line with their child, with their emaciated child, and throw their child over the fence because they're afraid that if they stay in that line any longer, their child's gonna die. So they have this faith that if they toss their child over, that someone maybe will give it the chance of life. And that to me, like, how blessed are we that we can open our refrigerator and hand our child a yogurt or whatever it is, you know? Or we have that luxury. And I think that's nothing that should be taken for granted. And their Convoy of Hope, if you go onto the website, there are, I think, 126 countries they work with feeding. They have feeding clinics there that they've set up. They also do work for like different missionary work with like the Bahamas, the disaster relief and all of that. I've helped out with that a little bit as well. So it's just a really great organization. It's nonprofit. And it's a faith-based organization as well, just spreading the hope and the love of God that everybody will have the ability or the chance just as much as the next person to be saved, to be provided, you know, so safe, provided for, and nourished, you know. So it's very important to me. And if anyone feels called, please come on over, check out. I will be releasing, Eric and I discussed this before the podcast, I will be releasing these collections very, very, very soon. But the two statement pieces are out right now. There's a hoodie and there's a crew neck. And they're $38 and it's $5 shipping. No matter if you get one, five, 100 hoodies, it's $5 flat rate shipping. And I also offer pickup. So if you're local, if you're in the Jersey area, South Jersey area, you can pick up as well. So very excited about this. Very, very, very excited about the brand.
Amazing. So where can everybody find you? Where can they connect with you, email you, find you on Instagram? Give us all the details and the website to order your brand.
Okay, so I'm operating solely off of Instagram across the board right now. I got rid of all other social media accounts. I just wanted to start fresh. So right now I'm operating on Instagram only. You can follow my story and my page for encouragement, inspiration. And I will be launching something very soon that will give people access to guidance on a frequent basis. So that will be coming soon as well through my Instagram. My Instagram is at I am Jess Yvonne, J-E-S-S-Y-V-O-N. And the Promise brand, I'm selling solely from Instagram at this moment. I'm working on a gallery that I'm not sure when I'll be launching that, but right now this is so important to me, and it's in its infant stages that I don't want people just clicking a picture on a website and ordering something that they don't know the story behind. Right. It's so precious to me that I want to be able to personally thank people when they make purchases. I don't want it to just go through a third party processing system, and then you get a sweatshirt in the mail. That to me is so impersonal, and I firsthand want to be able to thank you, and you know, be able to say, "Hi, I'm Jess," you know, and be able to have that community. This brand is about building community, and like I said, fellowship and unity, not separation. So when the time is right and when the time comes, there will be a gallery that launches, but right now all orders are being taken through Instagram or email at thepromisebrandus@gmail.com. But yeah, drop me a line, drop me a DM, introduce yourself, say hi. Let me know your story. If you have a story, if you have something you're going through in life, I want to pray for you. I will stand for you. I will believe with you. And I will encourage you. That's why I'm here. So please feel free. I'm all about community. I am all about community. The importance of community is definitely up there for everyone to get through this life. I'm telling you, life is just, it's quick, it's fast, it's unpredictable, and we need each other. We need each other. So that's how you can find me. And that's that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm so grateful for our friendship and for you sharing your journey and being so vulnerable, as Lizzie swats at my mouth, and being so vulnerable and, you know, sharing your journey to help others. It's so important.
Thank you. It's always such an honor to be on here, and I am very, very thankful for our friendship. You are such an inspiration, Erica. You do it all. I'm watching you right now. You know, you have a baby on your lap, you're podcasting, you have books out, like you're such an inspiration. And I'm just so glad that I get to walk alongside you.
Thank you.
So thank you for having me.